This is the Schnitt Show.
What do you make out of this? A little political jockeying, little strategy. There is a report that Joe Biden, that if he wins the White House, there's a report out that he's considering several Republicans for his cabinet. And some of the names that are being floated around is John Kasich, former Ohio governor, very outspoken against President Trump, and also the former Arizona Republican Senator Jeff Flake, also very outspoken against President Trump. So do you believe this, or is this just pre-election, you know, feel-good public relations bombs that are being tossed out there? Other options include Meg Whitman, the former CEO of eBay. Also, Charlie Dent from Pennsylvania, former Representative Charlie Dent, Republican, and former Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker. And this is a report in Politico just out this afternoon that Biden would consider some Republicans. Yeah, it's not that he wouldn't, but I think it's more of a PR ploy just before the election to try to draw in some Republican votes. Oh, look, anyone that is disenchanted with Trump or maybe likes some of his policies or likes some of the things he does, but they're turned off by some of the things that Trump also does, could that be a ploy, an attempt to say, Biden trying to lure some Republican or independent votes over? Oh, look, Biden's talking about putting some Republicans on his cabinet. Could be a bipartisan administration, and I wouldn't be fooled by that. The Democrats will utilize a Democratic White House win and a potential Senate win while retaining the House of Representatives to the fullest advantage that they possibly could. Welcome back to Schnitt, hour number three here on a Tuesday, 800-801-8999, 800-801-8999. That is how you join us. Comment, question, agree with me, disagree with me. Bring something new to the show, 800-801-8999 gets you on if you want to join us. 800-801-8999. Don't forget my social media. Give me a follow. Give me a follow on Twitter. I'm at Todd Schnitt. That's at TODDSCHNITT, at Todd Schnitt on Twitter. And then on Instagram, I am at Certified Todd Schnitt. At Certified Todd Schnitt on Instagram. I was just trying to go through, again, there's a lot of breaking stuff today. Let me just do a quick little pass here on a couple of things so I don't miss. I'll get to that. All right, hold on. Let me pick up where I left off. And we got, an hour to go here, and you know the drill. I usually have about 3 hours of material that are left. Oh, I also have some kooky Pat Robinson, Robertson. I have some kooky Pat Robertson from the 700 Club in Virginia Beach, my hometown. Pat Robertson is predicting the end of the world and this and that. So, you know what, let me play that now, and then we'll move. Oh, and Leslie Stahl dug something up on Leslie Stahl, and you'll remember this. Because if you remember, Trump actually confided in Leslie Stahl because Leslie Stahl had the first interview after Trump won the White House. Leslie Stahl snagged the first interview, highly coveted. And do you remember what Trump told Leslie Stahl? Yeah, I'll refresh your memory in just a moment here. The Pat Robertson thing is, well, strange. Pat Robertson is good for some bizarre sound bites. Haven't really paid much attention to Pat Robertson in like 3 or 4 years. I don't think we've played any audio, but trust me, over the years, we've played some real doozies from Pat Robertson. Not a big fan. Growing up in Virginia Beach and watching the 700 Club explode and become this big national network, and then, you know, CBN. And it was right in my backyard, right in Virginia Beach. Pat Robertson is claiming that God told him that Trump will win re-election. That's quite possible that Trump wins re-election. I don't know if God told Pat Robertson that. I don't know if God phoned up on the cell or sent a text message, or I don't know what the details are there. And Pat Robertson also predicts imminent unrest and the end of times. Hey, Pat, I'm glad you're being such a puppy upper here, you know, amid COVID-19 and all the unrest. Let's listen to Pat Robertson on CBN earlier today.
There's going to be a war. Ezekiel 38 is going to be the next thing down the line. Then a time of peace. Then maybe the end. But nobody knows the day or the hour when the Lord's going to come back. He said the angels don't know it. And only the Father knows it. So I'm not saying this is the second coming, but I am saying there are things that people have thought would be during a millennial time with the coming of Jesus that are going to happen in our lifetime. And the next thing is the election that's coming up in just a few weeks.
Here we go.
At which time, according to what I believe the Lord told me, the president is going to be reelected.
Pat. You believe the Lord told you, or the Lord did tell you? That's a big difference. That is a really big flipping difference. The Lord did tell you, or you believe that the Lord told you that Donald Trump would win re-election? What? That's important. That's a very significant delineation to make here, Pat.
Well, I'm saying by which time?
Here we go.
According to what I believe the Lord told me, the president is going to be reelected.
Well, the Lord either told you or he didn't tell you, Pat.
I'm saying by all means, get out and vote. Vote for whoever you want to vote for. But by all means, let your voice be heard. But it's going to lead to civil unrest of great proportion. Then a war against Israel and so forth and so on.
He doesn't look very good. No, he does not. Have you seen Larry King lately? Have you seen Larry King doing like commercials for fish oil or some kind of stuff? And Larry King, he's all hunched over. I don't know if I could tell the difference between Larry King and Pat Robertson these days. I think they look very similar. And they're very gaunt, withdrawn, and hunched over, shriveled look. And speaking of that, you see the nursing home story? This is not good for business. Apparently, every individual died in this nursing home. COVID-19 outbreak infects every resident and kills 10 at a Kansas nursing home. That can't be good for business. Yeah, where'd this happen? This happened in Norton County. Outbreak of coronavirus at a privately owned nursing home in Kansas has caused all 62 residents, every single one, has become infected with the deadly virus. Well, glad to see that they're exercising best practices for distancing and preventing the spread. Yeah, what is that place? That place is a hotbed. That place is a test case of apparently what not to do. And a total of 10 residents of the NB Home Northwest in Kansas have died from the virus. One person is being treated at a local hospital. 51 others remain in care at the home. Also, a whole bunch of staff members have also tested positive for the virus. The remaining residents who have been stricken, according to the health department, they're being quarantined in their rooms to prevent further spread. Well, duh. Yeah, it can't be very good for business. In Kansas. Wow. 800-801-8999. The number here on Schnitt. 800-801-8999. I do have the Leslie Stahl audio. So again, if you're just tuning in, we had this story pretty close to the news propagating and breaking that President Trump allegedly walked out of a 60 Minutes interview at the White House today with Leslie Stahl. The president also posted a video on his Twitter feed, at Real Donald Trump, mask-shaming Leslie Stahl from CBS in 60 Minutes, and showed a video of Leslie Stahl not wearing a mask. Again, I don't know what the details. Did she just finish the interview? Clearly, she was tested and came up negative with the rapid test before she could get into the White House and certainly close to the president. But clearly, the president is attempting to mask shame Leslie Stahl. And that video is on Trump's feed right now. And something happened. What did Leslie Stahl ask Trump that caused him to storm out? Sue, can you see if even before the CBS Evening News tonight, if CBS and 60 Minutes, are they posting the video up on their site? Can you see if you can find that? See if you can dig that up? Because I would imagine they would probably want to get some mileage out of it. I got to believe that they're going to show whatever happened on the CBS Evening News prior to Trump walking off on the 60 Minutes interview and before they even show it on 60 Minutes this Sunday. Well, what ticked off the president? What pissed off Trump so much that he walked out of the interview? And there was supposed to be a photo op and a little walk and talk with President Trump and Mike Pence. And that was scrubbed. Is that a bad move? Should the president really utilize whatever he can in the 2 weeks prior to the election to try to change minds? So what happened? But we're also reminded that Leslie Stahl grabbed the first post-election interview with Trump. This is back in 2016. After Trump won, Leslie Stahl got the first exclusive interview with Trump. And this is where Leslie Stahl, and this is significant, this is where Leslie Stahl claims that Trump said this.
Before the interview, I met with him in Trump Tower. And he really is the same off camera that he is on camera, exactly the same. And at one point, he started to attack the press. And it's just me and my boss and him. He has a huge office. And he's attacking the press. And there were no cameras. There was nothing going on. And I said, you know, that is getting tired. Why are you doing this? You're doing it over and over, and it's boring, and it's time to end that. You know, you've won the nomination. And why do you keep hammering at this? And he said, you know why I do it? I do it to discredit you all and demean you all, so when you write negative stories about me, no one will believe you.
Remember that? Trump told Leslie Stahl that he attacks the press, he does the whole fake news thing to discredit the press, so when they do write negative stories, which might be 100% accurate, that the president has done a number to discredit the press. And I believe that to be true. I think that is a tactic that Trump has used. I think it's a very effective tactic. Is it presidential? I don't think so. But Trump has done it very successfully. That if you keep slamming and slamming the press, you call everything fake news, that when the press says something negative, that's his escape hatch. That's the excuse. Just say, oh, that's fake news. And you lay that predicate. You're laying those breadcrumbs over and over again with fake news, fake news, fake news. The bottom line is the bulk of the news is not fake. And the dynamic has changed. And that term has entered our lexicon like a flaming asteroid coming in at 37,000 miles an hour. Yep. 800-801-8999, the nationwide number here on Schnitt. Sue, have you found anything? Have you found anything? CBS released any video on their website yet? No, not yet. Yeah, they might be saving that for the CBS Evening News tonight is what I'm guessing. Hey, folks, do you have a car that the manufacturer's warranty is about to expire or has expired? Do you dread expensive car repairs? Engine, transmission, stuff that can throw you for a loop. I mean, really just whack you with a doozy. And one of those issues which could indicate trouble is when the check engine light comes on. What does that mean? What's wrong with my car? How much is it going to cost? How long am I going to be without a car? And with CarShield, you can rest assured that your covered repairs are going to be covered by CarShield, and you could save yourself a fortune. CarShield offers a very wide range of protection plans that can save you thousands for covered repairs, which means that the check engine light is a lot less scary when it comes on. We've all been through this. I've been through it. Check engine light comes on, you're like, oh my God, what is wrong? You're going to have the freedom to choose your favorite mechanic or dealership to do the work on your car, and then CarShield gets the rest taken care of, the paperwork, the payment, etc. Even if your car breaks down while you're traveling, the choice of a repair shop is up to you. On top of that, there's no long-term contracts or commitments. Payments are flexible. CarShield plans are customizable to your exact needs. CarShield has helped over 1 million drivers, and that's why they're America's number one auto protection company. Don't dread car repairs. Get coverage today and see why CarShield cars go further. Call 800-665-2157. 800-665-2157. Mention code SCHNIT or visit carshield.com and use code SCHNIT to save 10%. That's carshield.com. Use code SCHNIT. A deductible may apply. That's carshield.com. Use code SCHNIT. And the SCHNIT rolls on next. Back in a moment, folks.
SCHNIT Show.
When we get back, I pushed the opening segment all the way late here. When we get back, who did the Maryland governor, a Republican, vote for? He did not vote for Trump. I'll tell you next.
This is the SCHNIT Show. List is on
SCHNITshow.com.
For our Danbury, Connecticut area listeners, can the city of Danbury, the mayor, and John Oliver, can they get any more mileage out of this sewer plant deal? So I finally saw the video, and I saw the picture of John Oliver standing with the Danbury mayor, Mark Boughton, at this dedication ceremony of the John Oliver Memorial Sewer Plant. Listen, at least John Oliver's taking it in good stride. It is a funny bit. So John Oliver did head from Manhattan up to Connecticut for the dedication and the ribbon cutting ceremony over the weekend for the whole John Oliver Danbury sewer plant. That's great. This place takes the worst that humanity can produce and transforms it into something that we can live with, said John Oliver. And now more than ever, there's something inspirational in that, because at the end of this awful, awful year, what could be more important than evidence that if we want to, we can come together, overcome our differences, and sort our S-bomb out? Yeah, the host, John Oliver, he does that Last Week Tonight show on HBO. Very liberal show, very liberal host. Trashes Trump with, I think, every minute of the show, typically. And there was a little bit of a tiff. He had a rant. He had a rant about Danbury. And it was weird. If my recollection was correct, we don't really know why he decided to go off on Danbury, Connecticut. But then the mayor of Danbury, Connecticut, he, in good fashion and good fun, played along and challenged him. And then it ended up with the sewer plant being named after him. Yeah, he had his name on the sewage plant after going on this tirade. It was expletive filled against Danbury, Connecticut back in August. And then the mayor, Mark Boughton, responded and said that the city was going to name the sewer plant after Oliver because it's full of crap just like you. Gotta love this mayor. That's pretty funny stuff. And then John Oliver promised to donate $55,000 to local charities if the mayor and Danbury followed through by naming the plant after him. And the plant was officially renamed the John Oliver Memorial Sewer Plant earlier this month. And then the ribbon cutting was just this past weekend. And it was kept private as a public health precaution. That's pretty funny. Let's talk about another political figure, and it's the governor of the state of Maryland. And the Maryland governor is Larry Hogan, a Republican. Larry Hogan has voted. I would imagine he mail-in voted. Yeah, he did his ballot by mail. And Governor Larry Hogan explained yesterday why he didn't vote for Trump. He didn't vote for Biden. I mean, one would assume, oh, he didn't vote for Trump. He's a Republican. He voted for Biden. No. You know, you do have a series of Republicans that are endorsing Joe Biden. I don't know why. What Larry Hogan did is he explained why he wrote in a candidate's name. Do you know what candidate he wrote in? He wrote in Ronald Reagan when he cast his ballot for the 2020 election. The governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan, Republican. He said that late last week, that's when he mailed in his ballot. Hogan's communications director tweeted that the governor voted for Ronald Reagan when he mailed in his ballot last week. And, of course, Hogan is a Republican. He has been very critical of President Donald Trump and his handling of the coronavirus and inflammatory rhetoric, but also didn't feel that Joe Biden was a suitable alternative. Well, and I don't give Trump a pass on everything. I'm very fair. I'm a fair ump behind this microphone. And I have friends that are diehard Trump supporters. I have friends that they get angry at me if I say that his tie is wrinkled. And my diehard Trump fan friends, I've had conversations where they're pissed. They're miffed. They're peeved. That's what I was trying to say when I was going. I ran into a friend of mine on Sunday. We had a 20-minute conversation, socially distanced, of course. And he's like, man, I'm Trump through and through, but my God, what is he doing? And then he went off on a total rip where you'd think he was a Democrat or a rhino, you know, because there are people that say if you criticize Trump or you question some of his crazy, erratic behavior and sometimes him shooting himself in the foot, hurting himself, if you question that or you talk about it, then suddenly, oh, you're anti-Trump. Oh, you're a never-Trumper. Just shut up. So here's the Maryland governor who certainly is not a super-duper conservative Republican. And again, we've talked about this on multiple occasions, like those that bust on Susan Collins, for instance, up in Maine. You cannot have the same type of conservative Republican senator that you might have in Alabama or Mississippi. It just won't play in the Northeast up in New England. So you have to have the most conservative that you can get away with. I mean, there's too many people out there that think that there's just one mold and everyone's got to be the exact same. Well, then they wouldn't get elected. And you'd have no Republican in that seat. Got to realize that. So here's the governor of Maryland. He said, I think I feel like a lot of people in America that I don't think either one of the candidates is the right choice. He was talking about COVID-19 and agriculture relief in Maryland. This was yesterday. It's somewhat obviously symbolic. The race in Maryland has about a 30-point spread, so my vote is not going to change any outcomes on our 10 electoral college votes. But I thought it said something, the type of person that I would like to see. And remember, we've talked about this in the past. We've talked about Hogan potentially thinking about a 2024 run for the White House. That after this election, whoever it is, whether it's Trump or whether it's Biden, that Larry Hogan is considering running for the nomination for the Republican Party in the next go-around, 2024. So we'll keep our eyes on that. I mentioned the police in Seattle, and I got two things here. I want to talk about the Seattle police, and then I want to go all the way across diagonally from one corner of the country, the Pacific Northwest, all the way across down to Miami. Because we have a Miami police officer story that's getting some attention here as well. But the problems in Seattle, the problems in Portland, Oregon, the throwing in the towel by police and mayors and allowing disobedient protesters and in some cases thugs, in some cases rioters, looters, to allow them to take over the city, to allow that autonomous zone to be set up, for instance. And remember, they had problems in Seattle, they had problems in Portland, and who lets the angry mob take control of your city? You lose control. It is just unbelievable, the stupidity of these liberal politicians in Seattle, in Portland. And this has led to cops leaving the Seattle Police Department in droves because of what they're calling the Socialist City Council and the riots, the lack of support. Veteran police officers in Seattle are walking. They are vacating. They are fleeing that department. So you're getting a lot of experience off the street in Seattle. And the veteran police officers are walking in droves, and they're saying that it's the Socialist City Council and the months of the recent riots, that's the reason why they're walking. They were holding nothing back. We're talking blistering responses. In the exit interviews that these veteran police officers were giving on their way out, so these are higher-ups in the department holding these exit interviews as they were retiring, and the cops are saying that they just can't take it anymore. They've left the Seattle Police Department for new jobs. There's a response from one of the exiting police officers in Seattle. One of the responses was obtained by Como News, K-O-M-O in Seattle. And this comes from a patrol sergeant retiring, was with the Seattle police for over 20 years. And he said, quote, "I refuse to work for the Socialist City Council and their political agenda." And of course, the idiots that want to defund the police, the idiots that want to potentially put unarmed civilian fluffers on the street to deal with issues that could go sideways and could go bad very quickly. This agenda sacrifices the health and well-being of the officers and ultimately will destroy the fabric of this once fine city. That's what one of these retiring sergeants said in his exit interview. And there's another patrol officer. He walked out, he retired, he resigned from East Precinct. He talks about the current hostile work environment in a precinct that is under civil unrest by a small group that is constantly committing multiple felonies and attempting to murder peace officers. He was asked, "What did you enjoy at least about working at the Seattle Police Department?" And he said, I enjoyed almost every aspect of working with Seattle PD itself. The one thing that I enjoyed the least was the handling of the last 3 months of riots. The years and years, the decades of experience that are going to walk out of the Seattle Police Department because of the morons running that operation. And the mayor. And these jackass, jackwagon city council members. What a bunch of boneheads. They had to leave. Remember, they had to leave. They had to abandon the East Precinct back in June after the George Floyd protests. And that became the chop zone, that Capitol Hill, the autonomous zone. You hand the asylum over to the crazies. Who does that? Who in their right mind does not maintain law and order? And who allows loss of control to this degree? And for that length of time, it was truly astounding. It was a thunderclap of idiocy of monumental proportions. You know, some cops talking about the riots in their interviews, what factors had a negative effect on morale in the department. One officer said the council wanting to defund us and even gaining ground in doing it. I don't get it. This is idiocy beyond belief. You know, let me save a moment here because I want to dig up that audio of the black Republican politician running for office in Baltimore, and this black female, she's calling out all the problems of the Democrats and the liberals. And she even has a bunch of black constituents saying, defund the police, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It is. The fact that this is entertained is just beyond stupid. So I want to dig up that audio, and I'll play it at the last segment coming up in just a bit. The other police story from Seattle, let's go to Miami, is this is getting some attention. A uniformed Miami police officer was caught on video or on a picture this morning at a Florida polling location. He was wearing a Trump 2020 No More BS face mask. And the Miami Police Department says that it's unacceptable. It's a violation of the Miami Police Department policy. Being in uniform and showing overt political sentiment. And I get that. I understand that. And while you're in uniform, yeah, you should abstain from that kind of behavior. The photo is of Officer Daniel Ubeda, and he's wearing the pro-Trump mask at the government center in downtown Miami. It went viral, backlash from the community. And some are even saying that it constituted voter intimidation. So that's where this is, and it's caused quite a stir. And the Miami Police Department, the Deputy Police Chief Ron Papier, told the Miami Herald that he had spoken with the Chief of Police, Jorge Colina, who assured him that Ubeda will be subject to appropriate disciplinary action. Yeah, don't look at this as a swipe on Republicans or conservatives. Cops just shouldn't wear the politics on their sleeve, especially when in uniform. It's a violation of policy. All right, let me dig up that audio of this black female politician, the Republican in Baltimore, and we'll close it up. You got to hear some of this stuff next on Schnitt. Back in a moment, folks. Don't move.
This is the Schnitt Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take pride in presenting Schnitt.
Yeah, here's some of this audio from the video of Kim Klasick, U.S. House candidate for Maryland 7. And this is really a black female, remarkable, black female Republican candidate. Listen.
Do you care about black lives? The people that run Baltimore don't. I can prove it. Walk with me. They don't want you to see this.
And then she walks around the real Baltimore and just puts the blame on all the problems on Democrats.
Broken homes, poverty, and crime. Baltimore.
And then talks about talks to constituents about defunding the police. Listen to this here.
Go to any Baltimore neighborhood and ask this question. Do you want to defund the police?
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
I had three sons killed in Baltimore.
And these are all black constituents. What an effective video. It's already got like 12.5 million views. We'll put it up on the Schnitt list. Folks, have a great night, and we'll see you for the Wednesday edition of Schnitt tomorrow.
This is the Schnitt Show.